The following shir has been presented by Rav Shraga Kalus, Pesach in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
To download this series of shiurim, as well as hundreds of other recorded shiurim, articles, and video presentations, please visit thehalachacenter.org.
The Gemara, Dav Kuvav Amud Aleph, Sanhedrin, Per Chelik, discusses the difference between the bracha of Bilam Arosha and the klala of Achia Shiloini. The Gemara is trying to bring out that the klala of Achia Shiloini is greater, more beneficial to Klal Yisrael than the bracha which Bilam Arosha gave. The Gemara says that the klala that Achia Shiloini gave, or the Klal Yisrael, Vika Hashem is Yisrael, Kasher Yonar Akana B'mayim, that the kiyum of Klal Yisrael should be weakened, Chatz V'Shalom, just like the weakened existence of this reed, this kana on the water, which we know that the kana, the reed, it's very, very easily swayed and easily moved, and it goes back from every wave and every wind, it moves around. So the Gemara, it's something that has the ability to stand up in the water, and it's gizay is machlif, it has the ability to reroot. Even after it's cut down, it recreates itself. The shrasha of merubin has lots of shrashim, lots of fruits. We know that it goes with the wind. It's very, very easily swayed. And once the wind subsides, so the kana still exists in its place. That's a very big bracha then, Mr. Klal Yisrael, to a certain extent, because Klal Yisrael are nimshal to this type of a reed, that even when we'll chalila have tsaris, and even when there's going to be harigis and galus, etc., even after all the tsaris, lamaisa, Klal Yisrael is going to remain. Mashenki and Bilam Arosha, with comparing us to an Erez, and his kavan in an Erez, with an Erez might be very, very strong, and it's very hard to take down, but one good wind is going to knock it down the gamre, and it's not going to grow back. Not only that, says the Gemara of Layoidal, Shazacha Kanalitol Mimenu, Kumus Luchtai Mimenu, Sefer Taida Neviyah Muksuvim. Not only that, says the Gemara, that Kana has a Gvaldika covenant in Klaisral, that from it, the Kana, this type of a reed, we write Sefer Taida and Neviyah Muksuvim. As the Marshal explains, that even though we know, we just said a minute ago, that it doesn't come out of the ground, the kana doesn't get removed, but in a case of where it will be removed from the ground, it has a tachlis, it has a usage, we can use it to write Sefer Taida, Adavar Kodesh, which is a siman to Klal Yisrael, that even when they're in the Golus, they still have the ability to learn Sefer Taida, where even if we're not in Eretz Yisrael, but we have at least the ability, Chach, even if we're in Golus, in the Zman of Golus, we have the ability, Chach, to learn Taida. Mashenkin and Erez, something like an Erez, which is uprooted, the only thing it's aimed for is Sisraifa, the only thing you can do with it is to burn it. Now, this Gemara is, of course, the Makor. What we find in the Ramah, in Yerideya, in Simin Reisha, in Aleph, in Sif Zayin, that discusses how one, with what does one write the Sefer Taida? What type of a pen, what type of ink holder does he use to write Sefer Taida, Nevi Ksuvim? And the Gemara goes on, the Ramah brings that a person should, Yesh Oim Rimakopanim, she Yesh Lichtav Kulmis, the Kulmis shall Kana Veloy Benoitza. That he should use the Kulmis of a Kana, of this type of a reed, and not of feathers of the feather type of pen. The Goin in Sivkat Nuchav Gimel brings down the Makoros from our Gemara. The Levush explains that what's the time, what's the more practical reason, is because a feather is it doesn't write as well. It's more scratches, and it's more of a problem in the writing. Mashenkin Akana is a much better writing. And a Sefer Taida requires writing. It doesn't require some kind of a scratching. Levush Lamaisa brought in the Shach, and Sivkot Yugimel says the Minig is not like that. We're not marked like that. We write, of course, with feathers and even with pens, etc. With proper ink pens. Now, what's the pshat? What's the reason why we're not noyik to write taka with this kana? The Gemara says that it was It was it's a special status that it has, the kind of that we write our Sifrei Torah with it. So the Aruch HaShulchan already in Sifkat and Lamed Ches brings down that the Gemara doesn't say you must write with it. The Gemara just says that that was the minig. The minig was that they wrote with it. And in Maseches Seifrim, which discusses all the halachas of Ksivas Sifrei Torah, etc., it doesn't bring down Bechlal what a person has to write with. And therefore nowadays he brings down that the minig is taka that they don't Bechlal write with a kana because it's very difficult to write with it. The Sefer Bnei Yoina says that the kanim that we have, all since Sifrei Shainal, are not strong, and if we would make out of these kanim a kulmus, they would make out of it these a type of a pen, so the type of an ink pen. So what would happen is it would break every single line, the tip would break, and they would keep on having to fix it, and it would be mamash impossibility to make a Sefer Torah. And not only that, it would come out that each and every line, the writing would look different than the previous line, and it would be very madna. The whole entire Sefer Torah would be a madna matziv. The Aruch HaShulchan goes on. He says, what taka do we write with? He says, we should write with feathers of bird feathers, kosher ones, tahirim ones, pischei tshuva dans, if you're allowed to write with non-kosher birds. The Aruch HaShulchan, the minig the Aruch HaShulchan says, is that we write with the feathers of kosher birds. The Aruch HaShulchan goes on, and says that why can't we write with metal pens, metal ink pens? So says the Aruch HaShulchan, he gives two reasons. Number one, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that the metal pens are pushed, they're because they're strong, they're metal, they push it, make holes in the cloth. And as the Shevet HaLevi says in Chelek Beis and Siman Kuf Lamed Vav, that of course wouldn't be negated nowadays because he's talking over there about golden pens, but he says those pens, of course, they don't have this problem. They don't ruin the cloth at all. Adarabba, they're much better on the cloth than all the kanim, and therefore, mitzad that, it would be mutter to use the metal, the gold pens that we have nowadays that the Seifrim writes Sifrei Torah from. The second reason the Aruch HaShulchan brings down that we don't use these metal pens is because Barzal is a cloud we find all over the place, that Barzal metal is something that's considered makatzer the yomim of a person. It's not something that is mayrich life, it's something that is makatzer one's life. And in Chiddushei Torah, he goes on to say, even a person writing with in regular Chiddushei Torah, so he shouldn't use a metal pen for the same reason. According to this, the person should prefer, if he's writing his Chiddushei Torah, if he's writing down his Shtiklach Torah, should prefer to use a plastic pen, a regular big pen, as opposed to one of these fancy fountain pens, which is made of metal, if it's a regular metal. Now, the Shevet HaLevi says that that's not Negeya gold, because this time of Barzel, Big Bekatsha Yamav, he brings a ban, and Shmeis, which is only Negeya, Barzel, metal, but not gold, and not silver, and of course not plastic. So therefore, if you nowadays, since the Shevet HaLevi, that these reasons wouldn't apply, and therefore the golden pens that he's discussing over there would be allowed to write a Sefer Torah with using one of these golden pens. He does go on to say that a person should prefer to write with a noitzah, with a feather, which of course is the way that was always written in Klai Yisrael. And he's only should be makel if it's very hard for him to write with a feather, number one. And number two, if it's going to wind up being a nicer ksav, it's going to wind up being more beautiful ksav if he would be able to use this golden types of pens. The Bnei Yoina goes on to say, chutz from the fact that we can't use the kondom because they're very weak, he says a barzel is the minig and that you could use it. He writes that the chashashis are not they're not found in Paiskim, these chashashis, and therefore you can't be moicha in the seifrim. And he himself wrote with a Kol Mishal Barzel, the Keser Sefer, the famous work on Hilchos Safris, brings down Taka the Bnei Yoina, and the Chasam Sefer in his Agos on the Keser Sefer is very upset with the Bnei Yoina. He says, first of all, when the Gemara says Kana, the Gemara doesn't mean Dafka a reed, a specific reed that comes from the ground. It means anything that's weak, but anything that's not breakable. And sways from side to side, as we find from the Gemara in Tainis and Chos, that the Gemara describes how a person in Midas is supposed to be. He should be Adam Rach. Don't be standing on ceremonies. The person should be weak. He's able to move from place to place in his Midas. And not only that, so he says that it's even better to write, and therefore Bemis, it could be that even a feather might have a status of a kanet, something that's easily moved around. And not only that, he says that it might be even better to write with a feather, because it's coming from a min ha-moyser mutter b'ficha, which is a maila in Sifrei Torah, to have something that dafka was coming from a kosher animal, like of course a barzel, not treif, but of course that has a maila of a kosher animal. Therefore, he said that certainly there's a big makom for a person to write with a kanishal noitzim. The Beis Hillel brings down that in the Svardish Medinas and the Timani Medinas, they do actually use kanim. They have some kind of a kana that they have a kabbalah on to use. I'm not familiar with the medic nowadays. A kapanim in the by the Svardim. The topic in general, buying tefillin and mezuzahs, always have to worry that the person has to be careful to make sure that he's not buying a fake. You know, he can nowadays, unfortunately there was a story I think 15 years ago, maybe less, that there was a fake mezuzahs and tefillin that were being really mass-produced, computerized, and they had some kind of a process that they were using where it was unable to tell that the ink was on the cloth itself, and it looked like it was above the cloth from some computerized program. And the Maid said this: the person went and he wrote 5 or 10 mezuzahs, beautiful mezuzahs, and he went and he reproduced them, processed them, and photocopied them with this tremendous process, and he spread through the market pasul mezuzahs. And therefore, of course, that's a davar pashut, that it's pasul, rather it has to have a ksiva. We're just discussing today with what pen even to use, but there's no shot in the world that needs a ksiva. This is why a person has to make sure that he buys his tefillin and mezuzah. It goes without saying from a person that he trusts, from a Yer Shemayim. As I once heard from a Greis Seifer, he said people make a mistake. They think that the reason why they have to buy from a Yer Shemayim the tefillin, mezuzah, etc., is because of all the kavanas you have to have in the Shem Hashem and mikvahs and this, which is avada important. But mitzad the shemus of Hashem, he can have a kavanah in the morning. That he is writing everything l'shma, you know, that he has that kavana chleis when he goes to the mikvah, and he could write 1,000 mezuzahs that day, relying on that one statement that I'm writing everything l'shma. The real reason is like the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Lamed Beis and Sifchav, why a person has to get from Yer Shemayim. Trust the person who is writing the mezuzah, pasha, that it's because we're trusting him on the kashrus, that the mezuzah is done by kashrus, and that he's not pulling shtick like this cipher from years ago. Number one, number two, bechlal. There's a lot of things within the writing of the mezuzah that we have to trust the cipher for. For example, in filling the mezuzah, the halacha of kesidrin, that there's a halacha that every letter has to be written in order when it comes to filling the mezuzah. So a cipher wrote a beautiful mezuzah, and then he finds a mistake. And the only way to rectify that mistake is by erasing every single thing he's done until now and going back and writing it over from the point of the mistake. And sometimes you're not even able to erase, because if you wrote the Shem Hashem, you wouldn't be able to erase it even. So we have to rely on the tzidkis of the cipher that he's not chalila doing that. And that he's obviously, he's either going to put the goyin as the rest of that mitzvah, or he's going to erase, but he's not going to chalila just go and fix up that letter which was written in psul. Similarly, if the two letters will be connected, and it's very easy to just to separate those two letters, which of course would also be a psul, and it would result in this tefillin having not been written kesidrin. So therefore, about it's very important for a person to trust the person who's writing his tefillin and mezuzahs, and make sure he's takar yiras shemayim. It's also very important that a person l'chayra should buy the tefillin. We find that the Paisim already discussed this. And he should know from who he's buying. So that he should, for the very same reason. Now this just brings up one topic of silk screening, which is a shaila that's come up in recent years. Legabe making sifrei Torah and tefillin and mezuzahs through some type of a stencil process. It's hard to explain on a site, but it's basically it's a very very precise stencil that makes sure the amount of ink that is going on the cloth is exact, and the image that's produced is a beautiful, beautiful ksav, and it's, of course it's much faster and it's much easier, and it's done with a stencil. And if it would be mutter, then it would be very cost efficient for the tzibur. If it's not mutter, so then if chalila somebody would do it, it would be a tremendous mechshel, and it would be possible, but also he'd be able to charge a tremendous amount of money for something which is, of course, the work was far, 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 far less. So, the Paiskim have various reasons why they are against the kesidrin, against this process of silk screening. Number one is the problem of kesidrin that we just discussed, that It's a very, very hard process. By tefillin mezuzahs, not by sefer Torah, but by tefillin mezuzahs, we require a concept of kesedrin. We have to write letters in order, and it's very hard to ensure that when ink is just flowing over this stencil. So a person would have to, it would take a lot of time and effort to make sure that the ink is going specifically to this letter, then the next letter, then the letter afterward, and it would be very hard to control such a process. And it would be, one would have to, even if it would be mutter, but to rely in a mass scale on seifrim, besides the fact that the Yetzer Hara is great in such an aspect, but even just the time and the effort to make sure that each letter gets done before the next one would be virtually impossible. So therefore, by tefillin mezuzah, it's a pashut that a person certainly shouldn't be seimech on the concept of silk screening. The next taina that the poets can have would be pashut forgeries, like Abay Sifri Tayyar Nevi'im, which don't be kesedrin, but it would be so easy to start with forgeries, which we've seen in the past have problems, because it would be, since already there would be much more of a mass production of Sifri Torah and Mezuzahs, Megillah, Al-Kopanim, since there would be such a mass production, it would be very hard to control and ensure that what's really being written over here is being written through the silk screening process and not some kind of a computerized process. The major halachic problem is Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger in Siman Nun discusses that the reason why we know there's a halacha Moshe Sinai of Sirtut. That Sirtut tells us that you have to underscore the lines before one writes the mezuzah, the tefillin. Well, we'll see exactly what, but I'll compare the mezuzah for sure and the Taida, the Sefer Torah, many Rishonim are machmir on. You have to underscore the letters being written on the mezuzah and the Sefer Torah. The purpose, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, as he proves from the Gemara, Menachos Daf Lamed Beis, is that it enables the cipher to write straight. That's the goal of the sirtut. It's not just that the sirtut should look nice. The sirtut has to help and aid the cipher to make straight lines, to write the actual ksav, and it should be straight in a straight line. Rabbi Akiva Eiger proves that if a person were to write the mezuzah, and then afterward he would underscore it, that it would taka be, you would do the sirtut, it would taka be possible. And that's the whole goal. That's the whole goal of the halacha Moshe Misinai, is to help him write a straight line. Rabbi Akiva Eiger goes so far as to say that if the sirtut was there, and the sefer bechlal wasn't being misyachas to it, he wasn't using it to help him write it, it would also be possible. Because again, the goal of the sirtut is to help him write it and make it as straight as possible. The Paiskim, this is a bit beyond our scope of here, but the Paiskim discuss if Sirtut applies just to Mezuzahs or to all Sefer Torah. The Gemara discusses from a Megillah. A Megillah has to be Kehavitza Shel Taida, the Gemara says, and Taisus says that this is talking about the Dafka, the Parsha of Shema, but not all Sefer Torah. The Minig of Klai Yisrael is that all Sefer Torah are done with Sirtut anyways. Al-Kapanim, a silk screen is l'chayra, contra b'kaveger, therefore l'chayra be apostle, because the silk screen is what's creating the straightness of the letters, and certainly not the sirtut. The final taina, which the Shevet Levi discusses, all the achreidim discuss, is b'chlal, and all these inyanim is always that chadash is asim ratayra, as we know the concept, that the person is starting new things that didn't exist in Klai Yisrael before, so he always has to be nervous that he's going against the minig, which is really, going back to our Gemara, that was really one of the major tainas in the discussion of what exactly happened here, that the minig was to not use a kana. The Aruch HaShulchan proves that the Gemara says that people do use a kana, that you're not mechuyev to use a kana, but that was the minig, and everyone's wondering what happened to that minig exactly. So when that's what all the tainas, what about barzel, what about gold pens, what about all these other things, that these are all new things, so does this go into the taina that Chadash Asim Ratayra even copy the writing utensil to write the Sefer Torah, the mezuzahs, etc. So, this new concept, this silk screen, which Bemis has halachic problems, number one, as we showed, sirtut, number two, it can cause in forgery and kesedrin and other problems, and bechlal, that it's a new thing, that l'chayra, a person certainly pasuk has to be very, very chayshish and to not chalila to have a sefer Torah written from ayidei such a process, or mezuzahs is tefillin in the source.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the Center for Halacha Consultation, Service, Educational Seminars, or Media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.